of this situation, of the story of David and all the things that are going on in his life. And the thought tonight, of course, is in chapter number 20. And we're going to look at this study, and we're going to call it, let's see if it'll pop up. Yeah, there it is. Dealing with Savages. Amen. Some of y'all have to do that every day, don't you? You feel like you do. Dealing with savages. And, you know, the idea of some of the things that are going on in David's life right now, as far as those things that he is still having to wind up paying for because of the sin that he had with Bathsheba. And, you know, again, we thought about it many times as far as us looking at it, and you think, well, we always think of David as the fellow that had no issues whatsoever. I mean, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. He never had anything bad. He never had anything negative. He never had anything go wrong in his life. But, hey, we're finding out now, aren't we, that it's not necessarily that way. That David is like every one of us. And I think it's really a super lesson for every one of us to know that we can be like David, or that our lives can go in the same track as that. Not to say we're not saved, not to say we don't belong to God, not to say, you know, those things. But what you look at is that there's always consequences, and you have to learn how to live and deal in those consequences. And that's what David is having to do. After all those things that he went through with Bathsheba, and of course, you know, we think when we see that story and you think about the death of that child, God told him that child's going to die. When you look at that, you think, well, that's the worst thing that can happen. Man, that almost seems like it was the least thing that has happened beyond all those other things that we've seen. So let's look here, if you will, and chapter number 20. Now, just kind of think back, if you will, to the last time we studied this in chapter number 19, that David is trying to come back into the capital, trying to come back and sit on the throne, get back into the thing of being king. And as he's going back into this, there's still some friction and still some problem between the different people that have split themselves, if you will, from each other in the nation of Israel. And if you remember back in verse number 41 of the previous chapter, 19, how that there were some of those that were kind of coming up against those that were transporting David along, said, now why are y'all getting to do this? I mean, he's part of us too. Well, there's 10 tribes of us that belong to him, and you too get tribes. Y'all act like David's, and you know, so they get to fussing and bickering and fighting, and sure enough, it explodes even more. Now, we left it in verse 43 of chapter 19 last time, but look in verse number 1 of chapter 20. This is really a continuation of that. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse, every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And David came to his house at Jerusalem. And the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get into fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son
of victory. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us. Now, I pray now, God, just give us direction, give us wisdom, give us some instruction here tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do for us. I pray you'd help us to see what the Word of God reveals to us. Help us to look at our lives and help us just to follow you, know more about you, and be more like you. And Lord, I pray again, you save the lost. Speak to that one that is far from you. Save them by your grace and by your mercy. And we give you praise for everything you do tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I want you to notice here, if you will, with me, as I said, we're going to talk about dealing with savages. So let's split them up if we can. All right? The first savage that we're going to talk about is the savage rebel. And his name is Sheba. You see that in the part where we read there. It says in verse number 20, "And there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba." Now, just about any time you see that phrase in your Bible, "a man of Belial," it is talking about a person that is absolutely without any value or worth. I mean, they're just a scoundrel. They're just a person that is intent on just stirring up and causing problems. All of that. I mean, it's just like, hey, they're just absolutely, we don't need them around here because all they're going to do is create some kind of problem. And that's who this guy is. That's who this guy is. First of all, I would say if we'll look at him, and you'll know there are people like this in all of our lives, we'll call him, first of all, a manipulator. Do you see this? It said that there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David." In other words, he's saying, look, if this is what's going to be, if this is the way it is, then we don't have any part in him becoming the king again. And I think it's like this. He is trying to manipulate this situation for his own good and his own favor. It's almost like this guy is wanting to be the king himself. He is like, well, let's see. Absalom got all these folks to follow him. Let's see how many I can get to follow me. So he stands up, and a matter of fact, you see that it says, as he stood up, he blew a trumpet, and he said, hey, we don't have any part in this situation that's going on with the kingship of David. We just don't have any. I'm standing up and I'm going to protest. I'm standing up and I'm going to say I don't like this. And you know, he's just trying to manipulate the situation. Now, David has thought that these things had kind of died down and everybody was getting together. There was going to be some unity. They were all coming together to try to transport him back to the castle and establish him again as a king. But you've always got some that don't like what's going on. Amen? And I don't care if that's, again, in your neighborhood or at your work or at school or wherever you are, you're always going to have some people that are like this guy right here. And it says there just happened to be there. It just happens that he showed. There's always somebody that's going to show up. Amen? There's always somebody, that one, that's going to show up. So you see that he's a manipulator. Not only is he a manipulator, we're going to call him an agitator. All he's trying to do is stir something up. He's stirring it up. He blew a trumpet. He said, we have no part in David, neither have we an inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man, go back home to your tents, Israel. Everybody. Look what it says. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. He's just an agitator. He's like, no, we're not going to settle this thing. Let's stir it up because I don't like it and I'm trying to gain some kind of advantage out of it for myself. So let's just all go home and they can play their little game. Amen? Again, this is him. And you know, you're going to have and you're going to find that there are savage people like this in your life. And that's why I say we call it dealing with savages. It's somebody you got to deal with sometimes, even though you don't know what to do many times. Even though, and if you look at it, really, David doesn't know what to do. I mean, he's not, you know, he's really not standing against him. He's not calling him out. He's not trying to settle the issue. He realizes who this guy is, and he's nothing but a big, bad, savage bully. Amen? And I'm telling you something, we need a whole lot less bully. I want to tell you, there's bully people in churches today. There's people that try to bully people in the house of God. That's a shame, isn't it? I'm telling you, nobody should be bullying anyone in the house of God. I mean, God is looking for some folks, and David wants to lead and be the king and do all those things in the right way. But here's this guy. So you know what that makes him more than anything? It makes him a separator. He is a fella that his intention is to cause division in the kingdom that God is trying to work in. He's trying to cause division. And it's sad. I'm just telling you. There are people that, as I say, even in churches, that will try to cause division because, you know, I'm not getting my way. I want what I want, and I'm going to pitch a fit if I don't. Acting like a big old baby. And that's exactly what this fella is. I mean, these guys followed him. They went back to their tent. It said, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. The men of Judah wound up doing what they said they were going to do, and they transport David back to the kingship in Jerusalem. Amen? I'm glad there's still some folks around today that want to be faithful. They want to be faithful. So, you've got one savage that's a rebel. But I want you to look at a second savage, if you will. He's a general. The savage general is a fellow by the name of Joab. Now, we've seen Joab throughout much of the discussion in David's doings. Joab has been there. Joab has been the general. Joab has been the military leader. Joab has been the guy that would do whatever David said do, and he had the courage, he had the strength, and he had the backing that was needed to do whatever needed to be done. As a matter of fact, who was it? It was Joab that brought Absalom down. It was Joab that fought against some of the other enemies of David. And sometimes even when David wasn't really real happy about it, Joab went ahead and did it anyway, right? You remember what he did with Abner? Abner should not have died, but Joab killed him because Abner had killed his brother. And it was out of self-defense, but Joab is sort of a mean guy. Joab is he's kind of one of those guys, you probably want him on your side sometimes, but then when he's on your side, you don't know if you want him there or not. Well, let's look at Joab and see what happens. So, when you begin to look at this story, in verse number 4, David calls for Amasa, whom he has set up to be his new leader of the army, the new general, to be Joab's replacement. And the king said to Amasa, in verse number 4, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. Now, David has made a command and said, look, we're going to have to squash this rebellion and this rebel fellow by the name of Sheba. We've got to take care of that. We need to do something now, and we've got to get on it. So what does he do? He calls for his general, Amasa, the fellow he's put in charge. He said, give you 3 days, get the soldiers together, come down here to the king, the castle, and let's see what we got and let's make a plan. Said, so Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. Now, we got a problem. We got a problem. This fellow that is Joab's replacement doesn't seem to have, and we don't know what the deal is here, but he doesn't seem to have the same leadership. Maybe he doesn't have the trust. Maybe he just doesn't have the ability to command like Joab did. But he can't get the troops together in 3 days. David felt like that was reasonable, and it hasn't happened. So David says in verse number 6 to Abishai. Abishai is going to be his second in command, if you will. He says to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou my Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. So David says, we got to do something. And Amasa's not back here. Here, Abishai, you take charge. You be in command. And you go take care of this deal. So Abishai does that. He gets the men. And it says in verse number 7, and there went out after him Joab's men. Joab's men. Do you see that? Joab's men. Joab still had powerful influence over the army of David. There went out Joab's men and the Cherethites, which is another group of men, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. Now, you know, we've read about this and you've studied about it before. David's mighty men, there were about 30 of those mighty men. All of those fellows are following with this army and they're headed to do what they're going to do. And it said, so they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And when they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them. So it seems like now here the Amasa has finally gathered up whoever he's gathering. And Abiathar's got his group with him. And Abishai's got his group with him. And they all come together at this particular place. They all group up here at this place that's called the Great Stone in Gibeon. And Amasa went, and they said, and Joab's garment that he had put on, it was girded upon him. And upon it, a girdle was a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. Now, you know, you're like, what in the world is this in the story for? Well, that's pretty critical to the story. Joab is still, as I say, an influence with all of these men of war. Joab is out front, and he has his clothing on in such a way that he has his garment pulled up and his belt on, his girdle, if you will. It's more like a belt. And he's got his sword in a certain way. And while he's going there, as he's moving along, it says that his sword was fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof, and as he went forth, it fell out. He had this thing devised so that that sword would fall out of the sheath and go to the ground. And as he's getting ready to retrieve it, and Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. So here's Joab, and his sword's fallen to the ground, and he meets up with Amasa, the guy that took his place. And it seems like, as a show of friendship, as a show of, hey, no hard feelings, he reaches up and grabs him by the beard. I would get Alvin to come up here and I'd show you, but we won't do that. So he got ready to kiss him, okay? Easy, right? But he grabs him by the beard, pulls him down, and gives him. And, you know, don't think anything about this. This is just a normal greeting for them. But, you know, I don't know about going to grab somebody by the beard and say, come here, let me give you a big kiss. But that's what they do. He pulls him down, gives him a kiss on the cheek. But the whole while, he has reached down with his left hand and picked up that sword. He's getting ready to do something, right? And it said, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him there in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Joab wanted revenge. And I'm telling you, that's when I call Joab a savage. I mean, can you imagine that? Here he is. And this ain't the only time. He did the same thing to Abner. If you'll remember, he called Abner off to the side. When Abner was right there at the door of the city where he could have gotten in and gotten refuge. But Joab said, come here. Let me just want to talk to you just a minute. And when he got him over, what did he do? He smote him under the fifth rib, punctured that sack around his heart, and killed him right there in the doorway to safety. Well, here they're on the road to do battle, and Joab is trying to make friends again with Amasa, and he takes hold of him, grabs his sword and says, and runs it in him and kills him. Joab is a savage fellow. He's a mean guy. As I said, sometimes you think, well, I'm kind of glad he's on my side. I don't know how David felt about him, but I'm telling you, he is a dangerous character, and you better look out for him. I mean, first of all, you've got a guy that is in this Sheba. He's an out-and-out rebel, and you know where he stands. But now you've got Joab, and you're not real sure of where he stands. I mean, is he going to be for us? Is he going to be against us? Is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? I mean, is it all a ruse? Is it all a put on? Or is it something that's real? I mean, you just don't know, do you? So he has killed his enemy. You know why? Because he's ready to get back into the job of being the general again. Listen to what it says. He kills him. And it says in verse number 11, and one of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favoreth Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. We just put Joab back in charge. David didn't do it. There was no decree from the king. There was no, hey, they said, let's just follow Joab because he knows what he's doing. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, this is ugly and sounds pretty gross to us. But I mean, he just ripped him wide open out there in the middle of everything and let him lay there in the road. And he bled and his entrails are hanging out. I mean, it's an ugly scene, right? And it said, Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the man saw that the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway unto a field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. I mean, those men came to a point where they came up and they saw Amasa down there and they're like, now what do? Now who do we follow? Now what's going on? I mean, we're not sure. There's some of them that are following Joab already, but the rest of them are standing around like, what do we do? So somebody's got enough good sense to pull him off of the road and at least have the decency to cover his body with a cloth. And as they do that, look what it says there in the next verse. And when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. I mean, Joab has been replaced, but Joab's now got his revenge, and now Joab is resuming his place as the leader of David's army. As a matter of fact, look on down toward the end of this chapter, and look in verse number 23. Now, a lot of things happen in here, and we'll cover them in just a minute, but look in verse 23. Now, Joab was over all the hosts of Israel. I mean, he's got his place back. He's not king, but he's the head of the army. And you know what? That's all he wanted. He wanted to be back in his place where he felt like he could serve the king of Israel in the best capacity. And here he is. And here he is. But can I tell you, he's a scoundrel. He is a savage. And he is a general. If you'll think about this, if you'll look through history sometimes, you'll see some of the great warriors of history. They're pretty much a bunch of scoundrels, too. I mean, they may have a big name and a good name, but when it comes to it, let me just tell you, war ain't pretty. War is not clean. War is not anything to be desired. And there's some people, they're built for war. And, buddy, they can get out there and do some dirty, ugly, nasty stuff. And it doesn't bother them at all. And that's Joab. He's a savage. The savage general by the name of Joab. All right, let's look at one last savage. The savage that's practical. There's a wise woman we're going to run into, but she's pretty savage, okay? Look in verse number 14. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Makkah and to all the Berites. And they were gathered together, and he went also after him. So here's this fellow they're chasing, and he's going from one area to another, one area to another, and Joab and the army now are following after Sheba and those that are following after him. And it said they came, verse 15, they came and they besieged in Bethel of Beth-Makkah, and they cast up a bank against the city and stood it in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Okay? Here's the story. Joab and his men are now, they found out where this fellow is, and David has already told them. David told them, said, we've got to get him because we don't want him to get into a fortified, fenced city where he can set up and we can't get to him. Don't let him do that. Don't let him get into a fenced city. Don't let him find any real refuge. Let's get him before he gets in somewhere and gets dug in and we can't get him out. So they've got him now, and they know where he is. He's in this place. Well, he's in a place that's called Abel. And I didn't look up too much about that, but that's just the name of it. But look what it says. They came and they besieged him and Abel. And they cast up a bank against the city. That means they began to set up some way to tear down the walls of the city. They're trying to knock down everything so they can get in there and get to him. It said, all the people that were Joab battered the wall trying to throw it down. Look in verse 16. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. Do you not think this is a little unusual? I mean, I see the Bible says she's a wise woman. There's something in my head that says she's not a younger woman. That is some older woman, and she's got some wisdom about her, and she goes to some area of the city where she sees these soldiers. She says, hey, I need to talk to Joab. Let him come and talk to me. And when he was come near unto her, verse 17, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. And she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake and said, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel, and so shall they end the matter. I mean, she's saying, look, we've got a good place here, and we have some wise people in it. And I am one of them. And, you know, people used to come here to us. If you'll ask anybody around about, they could come to us. And we could settle anything that needs to be settled. We've got enough wisdom here to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. So I want you to know this, that this lady is here and she is bargaining in her wisdom. Look what it says. They shall surely ask counsel of Abel, verse 18. And so they ended the matter. I'm one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? She begins to reason with him. She said, look, we're not causing any problem. We're not doing any harm. We're not in the wrong. Why are you over here trying to tear everything down? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. This is not what we want to do. The matter is not so. This is not what our intention is. This is not what this is all about. But a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I'll depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, listen to this, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Praise God, I want her on my team, don't y'all? I mean, she said, is that what this is about? We'll take care of it. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's some bargaining that goes on, but I'm telling you, don't mess with little old ladies because they can be savages too. Amen? Right? I mean, hey, don't No, that's right. Don't mess with a little old lady. They can be savages too. She said, okay, if that's what you want, we'll take care of it. And notice this. You'll notice it says, verse 22, then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Mission accomplished. Woo! I mean, there's a bunch of savages in this, wasn't there? Amen? And like I say, that last one, woo, ain't want to mess with her. She sounds pretty ruthless, but she had some wisdom. And you know, the point to all this is, sometimes you got to be a little savage to get some things done. Amen? I mean, I'm not talking about being mean and evil and wicked and vile down on, but sometimes you got to have some smarts. And sometimes you just got to get in and you got to do what needs to be done. Hey, do you know mamas and daddies that'll get on their knees and their faces and pray and run the devil off from about their kids when their kids are, you know, in life growing up and getting through things and all that and they get in trouble? Hey, you got to be pretty savvy. I mean, hey, there's sometimes maybe when some husbands have to be savage over whoever's chasing after their wife or some wives after somebody after their husband or whatever it may be. Hey, sometimes you got to stand up and you got to make a stand for God because you don't want any part of all this other mess. Amen? And that's exactly where these folks all fit in. But, you know, sometimes you have to deal with some things in a very savage manner. And can you get this? I still think this woman is a wise woman. Amen? As I said, I just don't know. I don't want to fool with her too much, but she seems to be a very practical-minded and a wise woman. And she said, we can handle whatever needs to be done. Amen? And then here comes Joab. And, I kind of like to have been around and seen the story that Joab told David. David said, you got him? Yeah, we got him. Well, tell me how you did it. You ain't going to believe what I'm going to tell you. I talked with this little old bitty white-haired woman, and she got his head for me. Amen? Woo! He said, tell me what her name is. I'm going to stay away from her, right? But I'm glad today that, as I say, sometimes even in the activities and the ways that we have to do. Sometimes you got to have some of those savage thinking, savage tendencies, savage ways about us to do what we got to do. Because the devil is a stinking savage all the time. He's after you. The Bible says, Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But you got to have some savage thinking. You got to have some wisdom about you. Many times that this world is going to, they're going to outdo you if they can. And they will. They'll stomp on you. They'll run you over. But thank God, listen, sometimes you just got to bow up in the Lord and say, hey, enough's enough, and we're going to put an end to it. Amen? And God will help you, and God will bless you. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing, if you will, tonight. Sing a verse of a song. And we'll realize this evening that the Lord is for us. The Lord is good. And the Lord can use people that have some strength and have some wisdom and have some ways about them sometime that, you know, we just might stand back and look at. But I'm glad that they're there. Amen. Aren't you? I'm glad they're there. Let's stand, if you would, tonight while we get ready to sing.